Free
associate.
Yeah.
Free associate for a while?
Yeah.
Free associate. All right. Ice cream.
But then after that, you have to start, focusing.
Yeah. Ice cream.
Okay, so should we, to keep our people familiar with the mission and the governance and the current structure? So the theme of current structure and the mission statement, which was actually ratified by CWG in early 2009. I don't know if exactly it's January, February, March, something like that. And that's all on the website. I have copies here if you want to take a look at it again. I'm going to send a couple of emails to you. And then the other thing that we have is currently, I guess, is something that Jim had drafted about the co-chair duties. And I think it was a little bit more about also like what co-chairs have actually done.
This thing says 1 of 3, 2 of 3, but I don't see 3 of 3.
Draft
2.
It's actually 2 of 2. It actually was 3 pages, but there was like a little bit left in the bottom, so I changed the margins. But I guess the footer didn't change.
Okay.
Maybe it's a third blank page out there.
Okay.
So I'm trying to save trees.
Okay. So it's all there. Any comments on the mission, or do we need to talk about it a
little bit?
Mission, or the structure?
You mentioned that on the agenda. 3 areas.
Right.
Are those 3 areas?
Yes. Okay, so the 3 areas we actually discussed at the steering committee.
3 options.
Right. The 3 are the question of leadership, roles, and structure, question of participation and representation and voting, and then the 3rd area was about accessibility of CWG. So they're sort of, some of them are, I guess, in my mind, they don't really relate to governance, but more relate to just generally how CWG operates, especially the accessibility part.
I wanted to say that this document is a document that, for the most part, I agree with. Except, there were 2 or 3.
Which document is that? This
is the Why Reform the Chinatown Working Group Leadership Structure.
Okay.
The principles upon which this articulates are those principles we agree with. But it calls into question certain things that I think are the heart of this matter, one of which is the question of 2 chairs, and the other being the question of whether one of those chairs should be hooked into the community. And I would say, a lot of this is what you and I discussed, right? When we had that brief dialogue. So all of this has it. It's really
I see a lot of overlap in the proposals.
Yes. So it raises questions about committees. We need to deal with some of the issues in committees. But I think that the 2 most important questions that are mentioned here but not resolved, and I think which is really the heart of the matter that we're confronted with, is the question of the 2 chairs. And I don't think questioning whether or not a chair is burdened or not, or too burdened, placing a value on that, goes with respect to the chairs, your burden. But I don't think that's a question, I think.
No, I think it is a question, because what Jim had done in the description was put such a high bar for participation that really it wasn't practical for anybody to step up. So I think it is a valid question. And I think that we have to, it's not just burden, right, but it's also risk, right, concentration of risk, right? So I think we have to look at it, I agree that we don't have to be picky about it, right, but we have to be in the ballpark, right, about what is reasonable for somebody to do, a person, a volunteer.
Would you agree that if we discuss the structure in terms of proposing committees that took on certain tasks, that much reduces the burden on the chairs, Because I think that's really where the burden was.
Right. I think that the committee, you know, if we kind of talk about committees, and you know, so I you saw my email, right? I read the document, and I found it very interesting because, you know, what has evolved is different than that document. I don't know if anybody else agrees with me, but what had evolved is different than that document, right? Particularly, you know, so I think that if we kind of go back to, you know, this idea that there's a steering committee, and the document wasn't clear on how that steering committee got formed and stuff like that, so it was vague too. But if there's an idea that, that there's a committee that kind of determines, you know, the direction and stuff like that, and then there's subcommittees that, you know, that form on approval of the general membership to kind of do things, I think that's, you know, that's a nice kind of model, right? But what kind of evolved, I don't think, was sustainable, you know, from a lot of different, you know, respects, right? It wasn't sustainable. So I think it will wash out with the committee structure. You know, what my personal feeling is that, you know, one of the things, you know, again, in reading the document, the role, you know, again, the role of the co-chairs would be to facilitate the meetings. So in a sense, a moderator for meetings, if that's a good way to describe it. And in that respect, I think that, you know, moderating meetings, you know, for a whole year, you get, you know, moderators are not 100% impartial either, right? They have a perspective, they have, so to the extent that, you know, you give somebody the chair, the podium to control for a year, well, you know, if you agree with them, great, you know, that's fine, you keep it going, right? But if you don't agree with them, you don't find that it's a great thing. So that's where I think, even then, I think, you know, some idea of, at least, of, you know, how the meetings are moderated, you know, could be addressed as well. I mean, a lot of the work is going to be in committees, but, you know, certainly the general meeting isn't just a rubber stamp of committee work, hopefully, right? It's a discussion. And in that discussion, you need to kind of have a podium, and people need to be able to kind of say things. Some of it can be online, hopefully. You know, some of it can be at the meetings. But, you know, I think that, you know, we can look at the whole picture, right? But I do agree that if we split up among committees, it's a big step.
Well, before we go on, does somebody want to take notes or minutes?
I think a committee should
really trust each other.
We should rotate 5 minutes for each person.
Rotating notes.
Can we 2 minutes off of a recording?
If somebody can transcribe it afterwards.
Could we take minutes of our conclusions?
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay. And I agree with Danny and also Victor that by and large this is actually, when you read the document, it is the chair people as facilitators, not as sort of, you know, directors with a particular agenda. And Jim, very involved personally, highly committed, but he did tend to go that way. More of a security council arrangement. This is really why they sort of switch people out on the security council, to get that sort of exposure to different viewpoints. And it's, you know, it's a little fairer. So I do, one thing that I would answer, get into the mix of things that we have to talk about, and something that I still don't understand is the proportional representation.
Is that mentioned?
Yes, it is. Yeah,
there's a sentence.
Right up front, it says that proportional representation in the Boolean leadership structure is necessary.
I don't think that that's an issue that we should discuss tonight, because it's a nightmare to discuss it. But I think the more fundamental issue of structural.
I don't agree. I think that that's a baseline issue that we need to at least better understand, but we've never actually had a concrete proposal on what that means. Is it a functional majority? Is it a weighted vote? What is it exactly? And, you know, it would help me to get some clarity about what that means, at least to understand what we're talking about.
But how can we have that discussion if there hasn't been a proposal? I mean, I don't know what it means either.
I think
we can talk about it. I don't think we're coming to thinking about coming to a conclusion, right? But we have to start talking about it, I think. You know, and we can start talking about it.
Doesn't it come into play when we're talking about the structure?
That's right. That's why I think I agree that it is one of the things that needs to be addressed, right? You know, committees are one thing, but, you know, how decisions are made in general, right?
Well, I actually think that the co-chair position is an important one, and I don't think it's just as a facilitator. I think anybody can facilitate the meeting, and that you could rotate if that's a worry of the group. But the real role of a co-chair is to coordinate the entire group. And I've never seen a group function well over any length of time and not have at least two people who committed to that. That too much in this group falls through the cracks, and somebody does have to take that position, or I don't, but I do agree that the steering committee has to be composed of committees that are functionally make the thing move, drive this, you know, the work.
If I could, I think, wouldn't the committee serve the function to be the more permanent and the more reliable source for what you're trying to talk about? I think that the co-chairs should remain fairly clearly defined in terms of just making sure that meetings run. And then, you know, I've sat on other boards as well, and they really are just that. And I think if we, I can't think of a board that actually has the co-chairs that are as involved as what you're talking about in terms of really doing the nuts and bolts of the decision making. I think the decision making should be in the committee that will be more permanent, and that from that committee, perhaps we could have a change of chair. The amount of time maybe is up for discussion.
Where would the chairs make decisions? Where are they allowed to make decisions?
Well, I don't know. What that's what.
I would just define it as not just. I mean, I wrote up my own version of what the co-chairs would do, but I think it's a coordination role. It's not a decision-making role. The decisions would come from the general membership, and the steering committee would be composed of committees that actually do the work. You know,
I agree,
right.
But I guess it's just a matter of semantics between what you're saying in coordinating and facilitating.
Yeah,
I don't understand the difference.
I think the podium was mentioned. And if there's a worry about one person always chairs the podium, and that there's an unfairness to that, then rotate amongst the steering committee. I don't know that that's the piece that matters, but somebody has to coordinate. I think the overall.
Bethany's been waiting to speak for quite a while.
But I'd actually like to hear a little bit from you, Rob. I know you mentioned at one meeting that you're involved in some more involved group where it functions well without a co-chair. So I'd like to hear about what that structure was and how that.
This is a method that's common for community groups. It's not a corporate model, it's not a government model. It's a sort of grassroots model. It was used for a number of very effective groups. Riverside Alliance was one.
Ours
was very purist form.
Ours as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've resisted this kind of structural thing because...
Right. You have no co-chairs, no chairs at all. And in the sort of purest form, it doesn't have an agenda either. People meet, and they choose their facilitator then and there, and the facilitator is always chosen among people who don't want to speak. And actually, if you look at Robert's Rules of Order, this is one of the rational parts of it. The chair does not speak ever to issues. If the chair wants to speak, the chair has to abdicate his position as chair. Give it to somebody else. And they can speak as a member. And I think that this is an important part of, this is what you were saying, important part of a meeting. And the issue of accountability never arises for such a group because no one person is making a decision about the group. The decisions are made by a vote, and there's all the accountability that you need. So they can make any kind of stupid decision, but it's a vote. Let me finish it. So you meet, you decide your facilitator, and then the group decides on the agenda. It sounds very scary, but it's actually very fast and easy because usually the agenda is the committee reports, and then some new business, some urgent thing that everybody is aware of. It's as simple as that. And you delegate certain responsibilities to people who are effective at it. So you will have spokespersons, usually more than one, because you want people to be accessible to the media in case somebody's away. You want to have somebody who is going to crack the whip on the committee chairs, you know, make sure that that's running well, and that's what you're calling a co-chair function. And then whatever is needed, as it comes by, people gather together and decide what it is they need to have as tasks.
In my experience, the cracking the whip is peer pressure. It's peer pressure. The whip cracking doesn't work because you're peers, right? As peers, you know, it doesn't. Once you have the kind of whip-cracking person, they become shunted off as something else, right? So it's the goal, the desire to achieve a goal that becomes the whip-cracker rather than a person. And so, to me, looking at, you know, the goals of the CWG, which is a planning exercise, it's not a react to the market kind of thing, right? It's a planning exercise. You know, it seems to me ideal to kind of, you know, in my emails, my various emails, I talk about, you know, contest of ideas, right? To get the contest of ideas, you have to allow ideas to be talked about, presented. And, you know, I think that the structure that you described, you know, that suits that. That's my feel. Also,
I don't feel that that's what you say. I think a neighborhood association is very different than a gathering of all kinds of different organizations. All kinds. Private sector,
I'm sorry, what are you talking about neighborhood? You're talking about Chinatown. Neighborhood as a neighborhood?
No, Lower East Side Alliance.
Lower East Side.
The Lower East Side Alliance. The examples you were.
The example you
we use this for the CUNY coalition, which had representatives up to 200 members from all five boroughs.
This is not a coalition. This is a working.
But the Lower Side Alliance was a small neighborhood, so it can be used yes. Very large.
Rob, I do understand that. I understand that Chinatown Working Group to be a working group that has a specific task. There are timelines that we have to observe that we should be reminded of. I didn't mind it when I was reminded of that. So I think it's vastly different than a simple association. It's a membership organization that has a task to fulfill with a timeline to observe.
I do have a question about the timelines, right? So when the planning person came and told us to take our time, where did the timeline come from?
Yeah. I agree with you.
Right? Yeah. So that's what I'm saying is that, you know, the timeline, where does it come from?
So
does it come from one person? Does it come from committee?
Aren't we allowed to ask that question? And several times I said, what the hell is this timeline?
Yeah,
we're under pressure.
And
my understanding is that it came from Jim. Because we've asked, and Jim was the one who set the timeline.
Certainly did come from Jim. And after a while I said, well, listen, it's better than not having one, right? If everybody agrees with the time that he's given us, let's do it.
Except for when people present valid reasons for not meeting the timeline, and you're still tasked with meeting that timeline, then it becomes arbitrary. Right?
So what? We didn't make it. Caps didn't.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And so that's the whole thing is that I think that, you know, the problem, you know, one of the, so corporations, you know, they kind of have to have a head almost because you got to react quickly to things. You know, this kind of group thing is not a fast reaction time thing. It definitely is not, right? Corporations kind of need that, but what's good and what's bad about that is that it's one person's vision that they will have to carry out. Okay? It becomes one person's vision. And I don't think this Chinatown Work Group wants to become that, even for a year. Even for a year, it shouldn't be that, right? So that's kind of my, you know, that's the source of my, you know.
But wouldn't you put a timeline, no matter how
subjective. If the timeline is agreed upon by.
Yeah, so
yes.
That's the only problem.
Well, the other thing about the timeline is that, and this is my concern, because I tried to lay out for everybody what the statutory limits are, because we've got 2.5 years that we can't cut out. No period of that can we cut out because you've got to go through it. But in addition to that, there seems to be a sense that we can take as much time as we want to do this. And while theoretically that's true, the outside world is not going to await the deliberations of the Chinatown Working Group. And so the chance to guide development rather than just let it happen as it has been happening, sort of helter-skelter, you know, we lose that if we spend too much time.
The other thing about timelines is that, you know, there is the, you know, sort of this whole development that's sort of going on whether or not you like it or not, right? That's
right.
What he's referring to.
Right.
But, you know, community members, I mean, some seem to want to spend a lot of time to talk about this. Some say, what the hell are you doing? You're still talking, you know. When are you going to take action? There's all these problems in the community. Why can't you, why are you, you know, you're sitting around your butt and talking is what they're saying. So there's that timeline that's imposed on too, and that's some on us too, and that's something that we really have to be considerate of, you know.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I would add that I think that's why maybe we should turn this discussion, maybe at this point, or very soon today, to voting, because I think that when we talk about urgency, when we talk about how decisions are made, I think that what really will propel the Chinatown Working Group to move, not just at an abstract timeline, but at the, as Doug is saying, you know, the outside world, the community, different people in the community are moving ahead with the development of building, services, what have you, everything that's out there in the community. And I think that, I think there has been a general recognition that we want, there's a desire to increase participation in the Chinatown Working Group. And I think that can happen in a manner, in a many different ways, but I do think that decision making needs to be democratized. And I think, you know, Doug was asking about, you know, what would proportional representation or a different type of voting structure look like. And I think, you know, that this discussion, and I would advocate that we have that, begin to have that now, could drive and maybe resolve a lot of the questions about what type of leadership structure. Because as someone who's criticized the co-chair structure, I think that if we improve decision making and voting and how decisions are made, I think whatever leadership structure we have, even if it's co-chairs, strong co-chairs, and of course a better steering committee and different committees, I think that would be resolved. That would become a moot issue in many ways. I think that if the community felt like they could have more influence, they could weigh in on the decisions made in the Chinatown Working Group, then that would resolve many things. So
my point is that we talk about voting structure, we talk about this proportional representation idea.
Go ahead.
Michael, as a community activist myself, I always felt the burden of this Chinatown Working Group fell on our groups to bring this matter to the people in whatever form our resources allowed us to develop. I always felt that. I never did in the 2 years. I failed to try to do that. I met several times with certain churches and certain pastors. In other words, I think the Chinatown Working Group, for all its defects, in its stages of evolution during the past 2 years, it did bona fide good faith efforts in having town hall meetings. And those town hall meetings surprised many in the Chinatown Working Group by the attendance of grassroots people who participated in it. So when you say that, it seems like you're saying that as an essential component of the structure, where I think the Chinatown Working Group itself has to present these forums, to continue to present these forums to the community.
No, I touched on that, but I guess I was referring, Victor, to more how decisions are made, both in steering committee, but especially in general meetings, like what, in terms of voting membership. To me, and to my membership, it's always been problematic that membership and constituent-based organizations have one vote, and these organizations who represent, maybe they don't physically, their members are not, not tens of thousands of people, but they represent the interests of a large percentage of the community. And that's not just one group. Maybe NMAS, it could be ISS. There's these type of groups, or tenants associations, let's say, shareholder associations. Then you have service organizations who provide services, but don't necessarily, are not accountable day-to-day to a membership. And of course, you have small businesses, you have nonprofit and for-profit developers. So there's a number of different types of organizations in the community with obviously different interests and perspectives, but also different types of accountability to the community.
So what are you suggesting? That they're not equal to each other?
That's what's been problematic to our organization.
The impact. So the impact.
The one group,
I think
one
Rob's
vote.
Going to talk.
Yeah.
I think Rob's.
Two things. One is that several weeks ago, Josephine asked if we could have a group, and I think there was an agreement on this, to actually have a group to decide or come up with a proposal on the proportional voting or how voting was to be done. And I think that from this discussion already, I think it's going to be necessary. We have to have a separate group to get together and have a proposal, have this discussion. Otherwise, we
want a separate group.
Because we can't discuss all of these issues all at once. We're never going to get anywhere. And we don't get half.
Like
excuse me. excuse me, Victor. Victor, you can't interrupt all the time.
I think you're interrupting the train of thought.
Excuse me, I'm asking the chair.
Okay, just, okay. So you finish and then, first him and then you. Okay, but when he finishes, up, please be brief.
Yeah, we have three things. Yes. We have this agreement that we would have a proposal. We don't have a proposal yet. I think before we have this open discussion about it, we should have a proposal and have a group to come up with a proposal, get together and do that. The other thing is that Doug brings up an issue that we can't really discuss here, but it's important for what we're doing, and that is that the 197A is something that is, in some sense, an artifact of the previous co-chair structure. It came down to us in a lot of ways from the top, and I think that a lot of people feel that it is totally useless, going to take a huge amount of time, years, and it is a waylaying of our efforts, and or your efforts, and there have to be other means of implementing actions. And this is an opportunity in the changing of the structure to review what it is that's been given to the Chinatown Board.
You have, okay, you're done, right?
I'm done.
Victor and then Josephine.
Josephine, I'm going to yield to you. I'm even coming to the dinner.
Oh, that's good. So I actually have a question about why we're doing such a general discussion. I mean, because there's already been certain proposals that have been put out, so I think we should start from those concrete proposals and then go through specifically how we can change. Otherwise, I feel like we're going to get really frustrated very quickly if we talk so generally. And another thing is I do have a proposal for the proportional representation. It's a starting point, you know, and so it's okay, I'm just going to pass it.
Well, that could have shut 5 minutes of
discussion. Yeah, I mean, it's just because I don't think we're going to go anywhere with the general discussion. I think we should start from a concrete proposal and then talk about, you know, what are the questions that arise from it, and then talk about how we're going to, I don't know. I'm sorry I'm late. Maybe I missed something, but I saw in the agenda it said general discussion. So I'm just wondering, because even for the chairs, like the rotating chairs, there's already been specific proposals that have been put out for that. So I felt like, why don't we take that out and look at it and then go through each of the questions that we have and kind of organize it a little bit.
See, I guess, quite honestly, not everyone agrees with you. This is why we're starting in a general way. We're starting, with what we have. So, and then partly what reason why we started discussing what we have is because we realized that the people who are even in this room came to CWG at different points in time. Some were here in the beginning when we ratified this stuff in the beginning and they sort of understand it. But some people, even like myself, haven't looked at it in a long time and forgot it. And then some came later. So, like, you know, so we just wanted to, like, this is your starting point, and then you can, and then the different ways you go. So actually, your proposal is not the only one.
Right.
And
there's others,
quite frankly,
I'm asking why we don't take those proposals out and talk about the way how we
reach. Yeah, we had started to. So right now what we're doing is we're just sort of, free talking a little bit, just kind of talking a little about, but we are focused on three areas. But not so much the proposals, but the three areas, and then I guess how the proposals relate to them will be kind of discussed. So the three areas, is what we said at the steering committee meeting.
But to get back to Michael, because Michael, I think you said something that's very sensitive, which is that you're feeling what I initially felt, and at times still feel, in the Chinatown Working Group, which is, I think, there's a lack of voice of the people that we, as not-for-profits in that community, represent. I don't see how we can bring them into this as much as we try, but I think we've been successful in bringing groups in that have represented those populations.
Both of us, we've had conversations with some of the church leaders in our community, and they've expressed a lot of reluctance, right, talk about some of the Catholic parishes in participating, because they don't want to, they want to make sure if they're going to participate in something that it's not just going to be a waste of time, and that their parish and the interests of the people that they serve are going to be represented.
And all due respect to them, and I belong to that tradition and very much work with them, they have to invest in something in this as well. I'm not sure they have manpower.
No, but I'm just bringing out that point as one of the concerns. And they certainly have that concern. We have that concern. I think there's others in the community, other organizations who represent segments of the community who have that concern. That's my only point.
And we talked about the responsibility of groups who have come to the table to do, in a sense, our own outreach on our own level, and then therefore bring more and more people. And the feedback that I've been getting in the community is that with the current structure, the voting structure, we have some extremely significant, very old groups in Chinatown who have many, many reasons for making very valid decisions and putting forth certain proposals, and they have one vote. At the same time, at the table, we have the Chinatown Pistol Club, nothing against them personally, but that will cause and has caused a lot of people in Chinatown to very easily dismiss this entire process. And I think that we need to, as Doug had said, there's a possibility of maybe making a weighted vote to prioritize residents and to prioritize business and to prioritize certain things that we can all agree on. Pistols being very low on the group, I would hope.
Yeah, I mean,
but that's an example of why it gets very, very easy to dismiss further outreach and further cooperation from some very significant people in Chinatown who won't come to the table, as long as they know that if they go through the process, they have the same vote as something extraordinarily insignificant. Same thing is done in U.S. government when you want to send a lobbyist to sell soybeans, nobody's ever heard of the guy, you can get your soybeans sold. So this is it definitely doesn't provide us with confidence in the current structure.
I mean, I think this is really it's a pretty loaded question, and I appreciate this from Josephine, because this is sort of the first sort of thing. I mean, you could have taken, a different session of the same article and proposed the Senate as the model, which is one person, one vote. And that's, in fact, how land use is done in the city. Everything, even proportionally elected representatives, have one vote when they represent their constituencies at the city council, at the city planning commission, whatever it is. Scott Stringer got 180,000 votes. Margaret Chin got 27,000 votes. But she's got one vote on the city council.
But they have one vote because they represent already demarcated segment of a population.
Right.
Now, and that's the question. So you can have equal
right.
voting power if you represent equally
totally
defined populations.
That was the next point I was going to make. Proportional representation is a great idea where you have full, free, fair, and totally open elections. It should not be used as a vehicle for seizing power through self-appointment. You guys, all due respect, absolutely all due respect, have not been elected by anybody to do anything. You're claiming a proxy.
Yeah, actually, I represent an election, but that's a co-op.
Right, well, that's, I'm just talking about this
right.
coalition model. It's like you're saying, hey, we represent the people in Chinatown, we should be weighted differently. And I would like to understand better how exactly that weight would work.
I mean, this conversation we were having yesterday, I don't know if you want to share it directly.
I'm all into, when things are tough, approximate. And so approximation is probably better than what we have right now, right? So I think that I agree that the reason that we have a Senate and we have a House of Representatives is to address two issues, right? There's the kind of state autonomy, and then there's the representation kind of thing. Like, there's the two parts. That's why we have
Rhode Island and California.
Right. That's why we have two kind of houses in Congress, right?
Right.
I think that to me, I agree that no one's elected, right? And in something like this, it's very easy to double count, right? So anything kind of exactly proportional will just not practical. My feeling, right? So, but my feeling is that you could probably break you know, categorize things, organizations into groups, you know, categories, broad categories based on demographics possibly, right? You know, so agreed upon demographic census, something like that. And then a lot, a weight, very similar to how the matrix committee works in terms of selecting things. Okay? A lot of weight to that category, to which as a member of that category, you get one vote in that category. Okay? And that way, the CWG, you know, in a vote represents, quote unquote, the a decision is somehow can be claimed to be representative of a demographic against something, right? And that kind of is an approximation, you know, a practical approximation to getting a CWG, where we can, as a CWG, can make a statement saying that, you know, CWG kind of, you know, weights this, you know, decision making in this area as opposed, you know, compared to this area. You can make a statement like that, and it's backed by demographic.
I also
still
think
vague,
it also
still
incentivizes,
vague,
it incentivizes participation from that weighted group, whatever that is going
that,
to be.
That's the
right
first
now,
time,
we don't have incentive.
That's the first time that the subject has broken the wall and opened up to at least a glimpse of what it could look like. I think it's so complex that, you know, due respect to your need to want to have that answered quickly, I think what was just mentioned, only because it has some merit in its own.
These are both very helpful sort of, you know,
I think that ought to be articulated more. I think you ought to examine it more. I think you really ought to, we ought to really make a proposal to deliberate on, but not tonight. I think you're on to something, at least whether we vote for it or not is another thing, but at least it's more than what I heard.
Yep.
We know the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate are, you know, split. But that's all. I mean, but it's not comparable to what we're talking about. You just said
so. We also know that we're made up by rich white guys for a very particular reason. So
well, that's a district man.
You should be writing.
Writing what?
Well, you should expand more on what you just said.
Well, I mean, to get a little more. I'm sorry. May I just sort of respond? Thank you. Just to get a little more clarity, because it's not clear to me, and before Josephine handed this out, you know, I wasn't even sure what the model was. It's like, does the coalition want 30,000 votes? Is there an automatic majority, 51% to 49%? Or is it something like, hey, there are different categories, those who represent a lot of people, because we can agree that there are separate categories, get 3 votes, to 1 vote for the Chinatown Fiscal Club, or whatever that sort of representation. That sort of thing is closer to what's fair in my mind than to claiming arbitrarily 17,000 people, and so we get that.
I don't think that type of process is rife for conflict and argument. I don't think that one would settle, you're counting my person, I'm counting your person, you know.
How do you actually validate?
Right, it's like, and it's not
validated. What are the names of your people so I can ask them?
Right, so that's what, yeah. So
I was just going to actually put a motion on the floor that you and maybe some other people who are interested draw up a proposal like this. Let's actually work out the details.
I second that. I think we need it.
I just don't want to share that.
Don't share that.
That's right. You deserve it. You should be cheering.
I don't want to share that. I just want to discuss it.
So we're just going to put the Google Doc in.
I can do that.
All right.
Just one other point. I'm actually thinking that it makes sense. And I think Jim's completely right. We should take a look at the list and call it somewhat, because there were people who were here at the beginning who I have never seen, or to my knowledge, I've never seen at a subsequent meeting, including the Chinatown Fiscal Park, not to keep hitting them. I mean, it's like, I don't even know who they
just
are. But they make up part of the, you know, the quorum is decided based on 52 members or whatever.
Along that line, Doug, I have some very serious concerns about how the number 52 is being thrown about, because it really is very disingenuous in terms of the validity of the decisions of this group. It is not the decisions of 52 major groups in the neighborhood, Lower East Side and Chinatown. It is, as we know, a concentrated group of people who have a very strong, genuine decision-making feeling toward what they want Chinatown to be. The way that it's being thrown around, and the previous chairs used this 52 this and 52 that, and we have 50, I think it's completely, it really does need to be reexamined, and if we have a weighted system, it will be a very clear message to politicians or to whoever we need to help us make certain decisions, agencies, to say this is what we really are. Forget about the number of our members. Look at our where we've put the emphasis on what it is. And I think I think we have to move away from the number.
You're actually supporting this.
Very much, very much. I have serious concerns over the fact that number 52 was thrown around more times than I can count last year.
So wanting to keep the numbers up would prevent the group from culling because they're not participating, right? If you want a big number, you never cull, right?
I don't think it's a matter of culling, but maybe also a matter of why haven't groups come around? You know, so sometimes it's a lot of capacity problem. Yeah. Sometimes it's I've talked to a couple of groups who were there in the beginning, and I'm not talking about the Pistol Club. I'm just talking about groups that we all know, and they said, well, you guys aren't doing anything we're interested in anymore. You know, you're just talking about.
That's an excuse.
Right. So, but then we sort of have to find out why, so that's...
Well, look, calling is wrong. What I think it should be at this point, for looking at the structure again, is reaffirming commitment to this process. And if they're not interested in doing that, then they shouldn't be part of it.
And this is a time to reaffirm commitment in terms of
right. So that's maybe one of
the So there's a motion on the floor that I would like to really deal with, get it out of the way, and talk about the issue of the two chairs.
The motion was about.
The motion to have a group
Not a group, but develop a document. Develop a document or system that you just outlined verbally for review for the next meeting.
Which is about voting or leadership or both? Or
it's about decision making.
It's about a decision making process. Okay.
I think it should be more specific.
Voting structure.
I think that Josephine's call for proportional. I think it answers the question about proportional representation.
I think we should call it representation first, and then we'll decide what it's going to be.
Because proportional sounds kind of like it may not be the exact thing.
Scares politicians for sure.
Well, it's not because it's actually problematic. It's
practically
it's very problematic.
Questions
arise.
Fair. So
you're going to prepare something.
Others. Me and what are?
I'm working on
it.
Rob,
I have a brief comment. It sounds like in French, three estate system, they have a proportional representation of your group structure, that you have your individual. Have your 52, and then you would have your proportional, and then if the two
you should
groups,
be on the
committee. Let me work on it.
And you should get some.
I'm saying what you're suggesting is that Danny and a couple of people make a proposal, present it, and then we'll discuss it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So we don't need a separate subcommittee to discuss the proposal, right?
Right. You're going to do it later. Come back. Yeah. So okay. So there's an emotion that
the Pistol Club committee.
I don't want to be anywhere near people who gather as a group with guns.
I'm not going to call them and say you can't belong.
That's right. That's what you're not going to do.
It's
right?
A representation study committee.
Okay, represent. Okay.
Danny's not the leader. That means he is.
One step back.
So it seems like Danny and Ed have volunteered so
Ed,
far.
Rob, Danny, Ed.
Actually, I think it's
Rob. Rob, what? Huh? Are you volunteering?
No.
Okay, so it's Danny, Ed, Rob.
That's a good start, right? We'll work on the proposal together.
Yeah. Okay, Jan, right? Jan, right? Danny, Ed, Rob, Jan.
Danny, could you also look at, there's organizations like, say, MOCA. How do they fit into that model?
I think that's something to be worked
the
out.
The arts groups, yeah.
I'd also like to suggest that we prepare a letter to the groups that are part of the Chinatown Working Group, asking them to reaffirm their commitment and their continued interest in what
I disagree until we work this out, because I think a lot of people are waiting, but
there should be some kind of a hopeful, positive report to our membership that these dialogues are taking place.
Yeah, I think that we can report on that, right?
We're reporting it at
we're
the...
We're not throwing chairs.
Right, but I do think eventually...
We're throwing out chairs.
Figure out who's actually in or out.
So we're having a little subcommittee on...
No, subcommittee. Just, there will be a presentation...
Okay. On representation.
On yes.
Okay.
Next time.
Okay, yeah.
That's...
Yeah. And people have expressed interest in contributing to
Danny
that.
Is not in charge.
Yes.
Which there's not...
We can let people know that this will be maybe one of the things discussed at the next meeting. Other people were not here. Feel free to join
right.
the discussion.
Right.
At the next, this meeting.
The next governance meeting,
yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Now, is okay. the next one. Issue the chairs, the two chairs?
Can I ask, do we have agreement, though, at least for the moment, on the structure that steering committee working teams, for lack of our committees, need to be formed to get the work done? Is that, I mean,
yeah.
I just in terms of where to start. Is there a straw poll agreement for that?
And there was some suggestion.
We had a straw poll issue yesterday at CB3 full board, so it's not discussed.
And I agree, and I think recognition of that consensus on that is maybe a way to take a step forward together, you know, positively, and then we'll address the...
Could we actually have a motion that would recommend the formation of the committees that are so listed here?
Let's talk
what
about that first.
Yeah, we should talk about it.
The outreach, kind of standard fundraising, government relations, meetings and events. I don't know what that is. Meetings and events.
No, but I think that's a detail. I think that the structure is what we should talk about. I mean, it's a governance thing, right? So I think that the specific committees is a detail that really, once we decide on a steering committee, that the steering committee should kind of do that kind of stuff. I think we should, you know, talk about governance.
Unless part of the issue of the steering committee is. I assume the steering committee is the head of those committees, but
right.
You're saying that whatever head of us
would make up the steering committee, so it may be relevant on that point.
Yeah.
Okay. But is there a difference between these committees, as standing committees, and working teams? I think working teams is not a it's not necessarily integral to the structure. They are like what you're doing. Studying something. So you and I talked about this. You even went further down in the sense that I thought that working teams should be eliminated once their job is done.
Certainly in favor of eliminating caps.
And not caps. And Danny said.
Yeah, but the job is never going to be done.
But Danny said they should not be. They should cease, but they should be laid dormant. Fair enough.
Are you talking about working teams or committees?
Yeah,
working teams versus
committees.
You're
talking about committees.
Yeah.
Can you have a particular sort of motion to propose? Because I like what I'm hearing from you. We should affirm steering committee with committees under it if that's where we want to go.
I don't do motions. Right. If someone else wants to, that's fine. I just thought we could agree that we agreed on steering committees.
But does a steering committee, would the steering committee be a committee comprised of chairs of the standing committees.
Yes, usually how it's done.
Whatever you want to call it.
Can we agree on that?
Yeah, the leadership, they could be called czars. They could be called
vice czars.
But I'm distinguishing that from
Dukes.
Working teams. You know, the working teams.
You mean the ones that did the different.
Working teams are different.
Just talking about the
ones that did the different.
Just talking about the steering committee.
We're talking about spreading all the work that Jim had described in that two-pager into committees.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
That's
something
that's
horizontal rather than
vertical.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
So, that's what I thought. It seems like...
So the motion on the table is that we should affirm the idea of a steering committee that's comprised of the leadership of certain committees.
The
specific ones.
And whatever those
are.
Okay, that's the motion.
But not exclusively the leadership of the committees.
Okay, well that's open to question. I mean, part of the issue, I mean, steering committees generally are empowered by their committees and the general membership to make decisions. That's part of the problem that we have is that every committee is everybody in the entire group. That has fostered a lot of discussion, which is great. But maybe we can do that with the leadership of the different committees and make them more representative, so it's not just from a particular group, so that we don't have to worry about having everybody at every committee, and people can trust each other a little more to make decisions at the steering committee that everybody can be offered up, you know, at the Chinatown
Group. I don't know, I would point to Zella's suggestion that the steering committee at least consist of one member from each community board. So I think that in addition to the heads of the standing committees, that there'll be one from each community board.
That makes sense. They're the sponsors.
Right. So that way, you know, so a community board representative doesn't have to be head of the standing committee in order to be on the steering committee. So that would make whatever number of standing committees plus three, right?
Right. I mean, some of these, like meeting and events committee, may not have membership in the steering committee. Don't necessarily need their substantive input into major decisions.
So if we were to go through the list of the proposed, this is the why should we reform, right? So let's just say, for example, so I want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly. If we were to have, say, an outreach committee, a fundraising finance committee, a government relations, and a events, that would be four, plus a voting plus one, CD1, CD2, CD3, plus the two co-chairs would make nine members, would constitute a steering committee.
Well, I mean, it depends. If one of the co-chairs is a member of the community board, you can keep that, so cut one off. I mean, one steering committee would be that large. Right?
But to me, that's it goes back to co-chair question, right? Do we need the co-chairs, if they're just facilitating meetings, to be on the steering committee? Do they need to be on the steering committee? They may be on the steering committee, but do they need to be on the steering committee?
I think they do.
They do if there are co-chairs, absolutely.
Yeah. Again, if we read the draft, they're just facilitating meetings and have no authority other than any other member.
Right? Well, but in a practical sense, if we have co-chairs, they will take on more importance than just that. I mean, however they're selected, it's a fact.
Right.
Even Thomas, who didn't
love
as much as Jim.
Because the issue is getting should there be such an office?
Well, you know, I've been also part of many different types of organizations, you know, the neighborhood groups, the big coalition, the small ones, the volunteer groups, the staffed organizations, and then the CWG, which is the first of its type I've ever been part of. But all of them have had co-chairs, and they were all, and most, for the most part, very democratically functioning. So I think a lot depends upon the leadership style of the co-chairs. Some sort of like, you know, take all, I'm not criticizing Jim or Thomas, I think they were great, but you know, some kind of, so you have to be able to provide leadership and kind of share it at the same time. So that's like an art, you know, and you can't codify it or something, but you know.
I don't want to depend on the grace of whoever's a co-chair for the group to behave properly, right, to function properly. I don't want to depend on them, right? So I want to bound it. So if we have co-chairs, if we need to have co-chairs, yes, but I'd like it very bound, right? I mean, so you know, the fact, and that's the issue that I have, is that you know, maybe it's the length of term, you know, and rotating might be the wrong term, but for someone to have, you know, once you say chair or chief or something, it automatically connotes and you naturally take on things that you know, weren't mandated to do, right? So that's the question that we have to ask ourselves, is that, you know, if we're having a steering committee and the steering committee is strong, right, then why do you, you know, strong and functioning, you know, then why do you need to kind of vest into a co-chair? Well, why don't we call them meeting facilitators or moderators, right, if that's the role, you know?
Sorry. There's someone
else. Okay. I just wanted to like, I think if the steering committee is strong, like you were saying, then obviously the co-chair has to be accountable to the steering committee. Yeah. So they should be, but like if the steering committee is strong, then probably, like if we have, say, for example, a certain amount of people from these different committees form the steering committee, then one of these people could be the co-chair for a certain amount of time, then it could rotate to somebody else. So, I mean, all of these people are always on top of.
What would the co-chair do, though?
That's always to avoid having the chair or co-chair. That's just to avoid. avoid, we go through all that machination just to avoid having co-chairs, which I think are important because, one, sometimes we need a face, a public face out there for elected officials and agency officials and organizations to know who they're talking to. There has to be some consistency in who they're speaking for the organization. Actually, I think the co-chairs are more than just what you're suggesting. I think they are spokespersons for the whole organization and speaking only from what they learned from the steering
committee. Why not just designate a spokesperson?
Because we're then again doing the thing we're trying not to do. We're trying not to have a co-chair.
Yeah, that's
so,
the point.
No, I think we need a consistent face to this community. Of the class, the nature of the class.
I think that's what people disagree
yeah,
with.
Yeah, the consistent face. Yeah, we're already saying,
disagree with. Yeah. Yes, I know.
But we're already saying that the consistent face, we're not going to have more consistent than once a year.
Right.
Right. So we're already saying that. So what's the problem with every 6 months or every 4 months? So, you know, we already can, so, you know, we don't have kings, you know, we have presidents, you know, and we're going terms,
we're
right?
Stopping.
So, but the whole point is that, you know, why go for a year? That's my question.
Okay, I actually think we need an overall coordinator. And I think if you have a strong steering committee with strong committees, that's the job of the steering committee to keep the co-chairs honest in that regard. And I think every organization has a duty and an obligation and a right to both correct and protect their leaders. You know, that it's both. It's like we need to keep people from straying because everyone gets confused here. You know, people who, if you're suddenly a follower, then you're like, oh, I'm a follower. You know, and I'm a leader, then I'm a leader. And I think just functionally we need it. I don't...
So what do you see, Kate, or others, that if we all want a stronger steering committee, other than a face of the Chinatown Working Group, what do you see the co-chairs doing?
Coordinating. Most.
But what does that mean?
It means some of these committees will overlap. And there will be, somebody has to be the person who everybody makes sure that they're talking to. It doesn't mean everybody else doesn't talk to everybody else, but somebody has to be the person who says...
Why don't you just have a coordinator of the committees?
I think it's... I do think Victor's right on that. You know, you're just trying to by any other
that's
name.
That's the point. That's exactly
to avoid
but
the
okay,
person.
Okay, here's the other...
That's right. You don't want to have the spokesperson who is also the coordinator, who is also the facilitator, who is actually the king.
right.
You know, that's what you don't... We have this problem.
Right.
We have a problem. And we're all meeting because there was a problem.
I disagree.
And there was a problem. Otherwise, there wouldn't be here. The fact that we're here, this is the evidence that there was a problem. Right? That's a fact, of empirical fact. Right? Otherwise, if there weren't a problem, we wouldn't be here.
Right?
And maybe you may disagree that there was a problem, but there was a problem, and you have to sort of open your eyes and say that there was a problem.
I may disagree with the problem.
And the problem is what we're trying to avoid again. If we can, right? And what I'm saying to you and to Victor is, yeah, we can do that. We can have a spokesperson, and we can have a committee coordinator. We can have all those tasks. We don't have to have a chair. And there are very effective groups that have had no chair.
I want to just ask, does anybody here rotate the chair of their organization? Because that would be real factual information. Because
we don't even have chairs.
Yeah.
The CCRC. Chatham Green has. Right. But I made the distinction between running a business and planning.
We run a not-for-profit organization.
That's a business. That's a business. Pay people. You have to make a decision.
And Mass has a chair.
Yeah, but we do rotate. I mean, if you look at our board of directors, different people take up, and it does come down to what the time period. Because I don't think anyone's saying that we don't need someone to coordinate. I mean, I totally agree with you that there has to be somebody who people can talk to, and then kind of check back in with people, whether you call it a coordinator or an organizer or a co-chair. But I think what we the idea of rotating co-chairs was to both make that coordination role distinct from the spokesperson and the person in charge and overseeing facilitation of meetings and out in, you know, outreach and all the different things. I mean, maybe
what would be a reasonable term to rotate?
That should be up for discussion. But the distinction of roles, I would agree with Kay actually that it's important to have somebody to coordinate. You know, somebody who can kind of people can connect with, because so you don't have to talk to Danny and then talk to Rob and talk to Gigi to figure out what's going on. But I think the two problems we saw: one, that a year is a long time, and to effectively reflect the different interests of the Chinatown Working Group, it's important to have different people play that coordination role. But two, that co-chair, or whatever you call that person, shouldn't oversee and be responsible for every single area that Jim delineated in his duties of the co-chairs. And what we're saying that should be kind of really led by different, you know, standing committee chairs.
Right, but I think that part of the reason, or I feel like part of the reason that there's this pulling away from this co-chair structure is because there wasn't a full-on strong steering committee structure in the past 18 months. And if we believe that there's going to be four strong people who step up in each of these positions, then Jim's list gets shrunk by two-thirds. And that system automatically pulls away a lot of power from a co-chair structure, which is what I hear is sort of the issue of too much power in one person or two people.
But I would agree, but I'm sorry. Yeah, I would agree, but I think the kind of a co-locating of the coordination and the spokesperson role actually is pretty powerful, right? I mean, basically, a spokesperson, I get to say first what CWG, you know, I get to say what my interpretation of what CWG decision is, but, you know, and it's up to everybody else to correct that, right? It's up to everybody else to correct that. So, you know, one of the things, and I didn't get to say this before, but one of the benefits that I feel that, rotating moderators have is that if you ever try to moderate a meeting, okay, you behave much better in a meeting after you try to moderate a meeting.
Yes, you do.
Okay? Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, because you know what it takes to moderate a meeting, right? So now you have full appreciation for behavior. Okay, so it's a similar thing. If you know that you're going to be subject to what the spokesperson says 3 months from now, then you'll be a better spokesperson. You know, if you have a whole year and you plan, and it's okay, I'm just in it for a year, and then, you know, I can retire after the year. That's a whole different ballgame. It really is.
I just want to give an example of why I personally feel that we need to have some kind of rotation of a chair. Even as a non-voting person, but somebody who attends a lot of meetings, I receive statements from the chair that were very declarative statements that I know were not voted on by 52 people in a meeting. So when the chair, this is a perfect example of how a chair in the wrong, misguided kind of duty will make statements, send it to a group whom I don't know who else was on the list of where these declarative statements went. They were clearly opinions of a person, not necessarily voted on before this went out. And I think it becomes very dangerous when a person who's in the chair position is able to publish a document, send it to the press, send it to an unknown, unpublished group of people, and then with a title, and then sign Chinatown Working Group. That becomes very dangerous. And I think that we need to have very clear, definitive guidelines that will prevent that from happening. And one of the things that even if it does happen, it's here for a 6-month period or a 3-month period or an 8-month period, so that there is a rotation of somebody who clearly won't continue that trend.
We talked to Jan just to respond to that, because Jan, I think you say things that reflect a Chinatown Working Group that was in the stages of evolution and working defectively to the point where we all recognize.
But that's why we want to do this. That's why we have this.
So if you say, if the argument is here over time, how long should a chair be rotated? If it's 6 months, then I would agree to that. Because
Let me just, in a very succinct way, I think it's a fail-safe. I think that we were led down for 2 years somebody who had control over an email list, the website, the minutes, the publishing of the minutes, the editing of the minutes, and no voting on minutes was controlled by one person. Another person was able to make published statements, send them to the press, not vote on them, have them sent out. And I think that if, on the very worst case scenario, a chair continued on that trend, a rotation of chairs is a failsafe. And I give you one of the biggest, oldest organizations in Chinatown, CCBA. CCBA has two-year chair positions. And they represent an enormous number of different groups, satellite groups that are under this umbrella. I'm sure they would have done 1 year, but because they, I think it was incredibly forward-thinking 100 years ago to have a rotation of chairs every 2 years. Very reasonable for a group that large. And so we've had great leadership through CCBA. We've had not so great leadership, but at least it's a fail-safe if these things happen.
Okay, so maybe we're not talking about rotation, but the length of the term. Well, I guess short terms and then there's long term. Because that's just like a 2 year term, right? So it's
I would go back to what he said, right? Is the splitting of the role, right? So as spokesperson, if I send out a notice mistakenly, you know, my mistake, you know, I said the wrong thing, and I said spokesperson, then it's very easy for someone to question and retract it. If I assign that co-chair, okay, then it takes on a different weight, right? It does. It absolutely does. So again, if we want
spokesperson.
The double signing checks, yeah. So, but the thing is that if you want a spokesperson, then have a spokesperson. Don't give them the title of chair or co-chair.
After Rob and Doug, we have to watch the time.
I'll be brief, and so will Rob.
yes, Rob will be brief.
Yeah, but it's just a question. Why do you want to have rotating chairs rather than have no chairs and just have all the tasks done?
I
would be open to that. I think that we've been through as Victor pointed out, it clearly was a broken machine, and we were dragging this broken machine along. And I think that it's very, since we're at the table talking about a new thing, I think we need to work on whatever it is, and I'm very open to having no chair.
Okay, actually, Doug and then Kay.
Yeah, I mean, without agreeing completely that it was a broken machine, because I think although there were real problems...
I could never get away with the things that were done on any board, that were done on this board.
Okay, but I think that despite the fact that there were problems, and I agree that there were, and that there was a license taken that shouldn't have been taken, there was also a level of commitment that nobody else stepped up to offer. So I think that there was a vacuum there. Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, in all fairness, I think we have to say that. But the other thing is that I think a combination of what Gigi said, which was the steering committee is now going to be much stronger, much more involved.
I agree.
A combination of that and a six-month term for some variation of either co-chair or spokesperson will together work to make sure that the kind of problem that you're citing never happens again.
Okay.
I think in part there was no other stepping up for that type of role because we didn't have the type of structure that we're discussing now in order to make that type of role for other people possible. And I think that's what is important about what we're doing now, is that we can make roles for people to step up into, and therefore that one person doesn't have to feel like he or she has to take that entire responsibility on his own shoulders.
Okay, so are there like three different...
I guess, it's tricky to keep characterizing it a certain way. I think if we're going to move past and get to something else, that I would just respectfully say that there are issues about the past that you're trying to address. I hear that, but it gets tricky for me to hear that. So, because it could be characterized another way, and I would prefer not to have either. But the one thing I would say is just to make note of is that we couldn't even in this meeting get anyone to take the minutes. And to me, that's not a small issue. And that when we're talking about building a governance structure, that is going to come into play in an all-volunteer organization. So I want us to also be thinking about that, realistic about that. What are we offering? You know, what are we going to, when we talk about stepping up into that, these roles, you know, we can make these committees. If no one fills them, we're screwed. So I would almost like to table the chair issue, because I think the committees are the meat and potatoes. of our discussion, but...
Hey, we're becoming so close to resolving it.
Not for me.
No, but, I don't think so. Can I just... I just want to offer some reflection as... I don't want to speak for May, but in the 3 weeks that May and I have been doing this, we talk at least once every 2 days, possibly every day, multiple times on the weekends, on Saturdays and Sundays.
When it's really
and it's
nice
not,
out.
And yes, maybe some of the glitzy stuff and some of that you know, being able to take leaps and bounds that you don't think are appropriate. Yes, that's part of it. And part of that was situation and personality, but a lot of it is typing up the agenda, making sure we have the room ready for today and that the email went out. And, you know, like really, really basic stuff that would not fall under any of this. And
but it could.
And we, Elisa, you know, we don't have an administrator anymore, which is Elisa, so it's making photocopies. It's when new members come go to the website and they email you and they want to know, you know, ABC, and you don't want to ignore them. It's like there's lots of little things that don't fall under anything. And so that's something, you know, to be mindful of, to have one person or two people, and yes, I agree, for a certain period of time, be able to have the big picture, because I don't foresee in a structure like this, even if you add a spokesperson and you add, you know, whatever things you want to add, that you're necessarily going to be able to fill all the cracks with that.
Well, I think the basic issue sounds like there's always a need in every organization, and not just this one, but everyone and the ones we're into, for leadership to be more accountable to the larger body. So this sounds like there's three different kind of ideas going on. There's the sort of like the steering committee of having the co-chairs, but making the steering committee a lot stronger than it is, so to sort of, you know, so the co-chairs kind of stay accountable. The other thing is rotating chairs, or perhaps it is really maybe shorter terms is what you're talking about, because the previous co-chairs, they had terms. It's not like they were like chairs for life, right? The other proposal is no chairs. So there's three different things going on. It is 7:16. I don't know how much longer you want to stay here today. Do we want to have another sort of little thing to, you know, people to put that together?
Bethany.
Bethany.
Just a quick comment. Just as a slight clarification, I think some of those things that Gigi was talking about actually can be and are covered in some of these committee things. For example, the meeting and events coordinator, that person would be responsible for all administrative duties associated with meetings. So photocopying, agenda, making sure the emails and that type of thing. Right.
I think that we are very close, more than I ever thought we would, on many of these issues. So I think that we should. Why not have a committee of this group?
But Gigi and I cannot co-chair this group or chair this group or whatever. We have a lot on our plate, and I think there's a lot of people in this room, very talented, who can do that. So we need to find one or two other people who will chair this group for the rest of the term.
And what is the group charged with? Does it have to have something ready for the next?
No, okay. The January meeting.
Okay, so it has to have something for the January meeting in these three areas. We were thinking of, you know, including this meeting at most, I guess five additional meetings at most to sort of flesh this out.
If you
don't have to have five, don't hang me. I'm not saying
I
have five.
Just space for meetings if we need space.
That's his way of not volunteering to chair the committee.
I'll take my turn in chairing.
Great. It would be good to have a couple of people
I'll take minutes for the next meeting.
Okay,
why don't we practice something rotational and do chairs for each one of these little separate things?
I'll chair the next one. When is the next one?
We can decide right now.
We decide.
No, I think we have to agree on that date, right?
We decide.
I'm gone next week, so.
And by the way, ISS is available as well at 137.
Okay, we have
one. You just volunteered your chair. Let's do that. It's good for small meetings,
We have a nice
water
room.
Cooler.
We have a very nice
water cooler.
Bathroom's right there.
What's the date that's being proposed?
There is no proposed date yet.
Week after next?
Yeah, we said every other week, I think.
Okay. Yeah, every other week. So the week of
November
8th.
November 8th, November 11th.
I can't make any of those, but the 11th is Veterans Day.
11th?
Just so you
know. 11th,
that's 6th. Veterans Day.
Yeah, 11th is not a good day, right? Yes, it is Veterans Day.
Wednesday, no good?
Monday?
Monday's okay for me.
The 9th?
That's a little early.
The 8th is a Monday, 9th is a Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
9th is fine.
9th is fine.
I can't go to any
Thursday. Okay. So when's Veterans Day?
That's right. We'll take really good.
My other job? My other job?
Veterans Day is celebrated on Thursday?
Yes.
So what was the same?
So the 9th for the meeting?
I can't go to
that. No, not
the 9th. 9th is Tuesday, 10th is a Wednesday.
No 8th? No 8th.
8th is okay.
8th is not a holiday?
Nope. No. Monday, November 8th.
Monday, November 8th.
This time?
At 137 Henry between Rutgers Street and Allen Street. Closer to Rutgers.
Right across from PS2, right? Diagonally across from PS2.
November 8th, 6 p.m., ISS. Danny is going to chair that meeting.
Oh, I'm chairing that one.
Okay. No, is that right?
I've always wanted to chair a meeting.
No, you're chairing that meeting.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and
I'm going to have a full copy.
And you'll send out the email, right? The agenda, the email, all that.
Again?
We don't have an agenda yet, yeah.
Right,
but aren't we talking more? You guys are working on the
working
stuff.
You're working on representation.
An email, will you guys be able to email out stuff, or do you need help with that?
Well, what are we emailing out? We don't even know what the agenda is.
No, again, once we have an agenda,
everybody email out agenda topics, and then by that time, hopefully, we'll have some.